This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, How Buildings Impact Our Lives. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Buildings shelter us from the elements. They provide a place to cool down in the summer and warmth in the winter. In New York City, more than 80% of residential buildings are heated by steam. These heating systems have their roots in the past, and now they face an uncertain future. Emily Pontecorvo reports.
A cold winter night in a typical New York City apartment building has a soundtrack.
It would usually kind of like begin with this sort of like distant like hiss, like something felt like it was like kind of creeping through the walls. And sometimes it was just like extremely loud. Like I would wake up from these pipes like clanging, and it was like a storm of just like bomb, bomb, bomb.
It was like an infernal whistling.
It just sounds like there's something alive in the pipes that is trying to break free.
There's the noise, and then also, people with steam heating usually don't have any control over the temperature in their apartments.
It's hot. It's on constantly.
It's boiling hot.
In the middle of winter, it was snow covering my window, and I would always have to open the window up.
Steam heat means a boiler in the basement that burns some kind of fuel to heat water into steam. The steam shoots up through the building via pipes that send it into radiators to heat people's apartments. And so many New Yorkers have to open their windows in the winter because it's too hot. About 3/4 of the buildings in New York City were built over just a few decades, from the 1900s to the 1930s. During that time, steam heat reigned supreme. I spoke to Dan Holohan, who wrote a book called The Lost Art of Steam Heating. To Dan, the history of home heating is this gripping story of survival.
You know, people would die from the cold. I mean, winter was almost like a character in a novel. You know, it was personified in my mind. It would come indoors and try to steal your kids.
When Dan started researching steam heat about 50 years ago, he started digging around in old engineering textbooks and boiler manuals and trade magazines. And in one of the textbooks, he stumbled upon something that explains so much about why steam heating systems have all these problems today. It was this bizarre specification.
We have to size the boiler for the coldest day of the year with the wind blowing and the windows open. And I said, what the heck is that all about?
That's right. At one time, it was actually standard to install boilers that were big enough for people to open their windows in the dead of winter and still be warm. And when Dan dug a little deeper, he started to figure out why.
Looking at people just living in horrible conditions, and so many of the diseases that we were having were airborne, and they were caused by unhealthy water and unhealthy air.
Lots of people were dying from tuberculosis and outbreaks like the Spanish flu. But medical science was advancing. Germ theory started to enter the public consciousness, and fresh air came to be seen as one of the best measures to prevent the spread of disease. In 1901, fresh air was literally written into the building code. The New York State Tenement House Act mandated that every room have a window facing the outside. And along with that came the doctor's orders: keep your bedroom windows open. Dan concluded that this fixation on the curative power of fresh air influenced the heating systems that were installed when most of New York City was being built.
The pipes and the radiators are probably the exact same pipes and radiators that were installed originally in 1912. They're very robust systems.
The boilers had to push out enough heat so that you could open your windows in the winter. And these big, old systems are still there. This is Sean Brennan, the Associate Director of Research at Urban Green Council. Sean's done a lot of work on steam heat in New York City, and he says there's another historical factor that totally screwed up these systems. Throughout the 20th century, the fuel source kept changing.
So originally, they were using coal, and it was a very different process. Someone had to like man this coal boiler and probably stoke it. And so the system was designed in a certain way with a certain size.
But then oil became the fuel source of choice. Here's Dan again.
No, you know, nobody expected that we're going to take coal and then start burning oil when they made the boiler. So we're going to put an oil burner. How big should it be? How do I know? So what the oil people did was they came up with rules of thumb, and they generously oversized it because they didn't want to get hurt by guessing too small.
And then the next iteration, of course, was natural gas, and that creates all kinds of other problems. And again, we didn't really downsize, we just put in the same size or even gave ourselves an extra safety factor to make sure that no one was too cold.
So everybody put something extra in there. And now when the boiler fails, a contractor comes along and he looks at the boiler and he puts back exactly what's in there.
Today, these oversized systems are energy hogs. They burn tons of fossil fuel just to let the heat out through the windows. And now they're coming under increased scrutiny. Earlier this year, New York City passed a landmark law to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And the law specifically targets buildings. Here's Mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, talking about it at a press conference.
Now, why are we so focused on the buildings? Because turns out, my friends, they're the number one cause of greenhouse gas emissions. It's not the cars. It's the buildings.
It is possible to make steam heat systems run more efficiently. Urban Green Council, where Sean works, looked into this, and they made a list of improvements that can reduce a building's fuel use by about 20%, and often more. One obvious solution, install a smaller boiler. And Sean says these fixes aren't all that expensive.
We found that actually it's going to be less than $1 per square foot for your typical multifamily building to fix it.
Sean said a typical multifamily building is about 75,000 square feet. To make all the suggested changes would cost somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000. Here's the thing. For a long time, there's been no serious incentive to do this. Natural gas is cheap. People don't really feel the full cost of inefficient heating on their wallets. But soon, because of de Blasio's new law, these inefficient buildings could be hit with a penalty.
So we will have to get rid of this form of heating eventually. Our guess is that somewhere between, 2030 and 2050 is when that big wave of steam replacements is going to be happening.
The new law aims to reduce citywide emissions by 40% by 2030. And improving steam heat is crucial to hitting that. But the city's long-term plan is to get to zero emissions by 2050. And there's no real way to heat an apartment with steam without burning some fossil fuels. It's not going to be easy. Just imagine thousands of buildings and ripping out pipes and radiators. People might have to move out of entire floors of buildings. Will all these headstrong New Yorkers really put up with that? Sean is optimistic. He says there's momentum around making these changes and that if we want to avoid the worst effects of climate change, we can't ignore steam heat anymore.
For big cities like New York, you can address your buildings. They are things that are stationary, people are used to investing in, and we know they're going to be here. So let's make the investment now.
That's Sean's hope, but not all New Yorkers are on board yet. Kate Flanagan grew up in a New York City apartment building that was built in 1901. Her family still lives there, and she asked her dad if there was any talk about changing the heating system.
And my dad, he has lived in New York his whole life, and he wrote back a very short response that said, steam now and steam forever.
That story was reported by Emily Pontecorvo. Thanks to the Tenement Museum in New York City for helping out with this story.